Proverbs chapter 4. We are about caught back up to where we left off at, so I'm thankful for that. About caught back up, and tonight's emphasis will be in verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17 of Proverbs chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, I want to thank you, Lord, for once again your people that have gathered here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to be in your house. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you would have me to say tonight. Much of the beginnings of Proverbs are dealing with child rearing, and we need this. I need this. And I ask you, Lord, to give us something tonight that we can learn, something that we can apply to our current situation. There's always something, Lord, in wisdom. There's always another area of wisdom that we can apply to our knowledge so that we can have the right use of knowledge. Just ask you, Lord, to lead and guide during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. King Solomon is continuing his counsel here to his children, and I've entitled this message, Bad Company. He says in verse 13, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. We won't break down much of verse 13 because we've already broken down a lot of it multiple times as it repeats itself in prior messages. But King Solomon is telling him to take fast hold of instruction. Instruction from a parent, the instruction in wisdom. Parents should not only tell their children, inform them of things that they should know, but they should also tell them when they should apply what they're teaching them, when they should apply the truths that they're teaching them, the instruction of things that they should both do and not do. Sometimes we got the things down to a T that they should not do, and that we as adults should not do, but sometimes we fall short at just telling people what they need to do, to replace the things they shouldn't be doing with doing something that they should be doing. So you want to instruct children in both ways as to both do and not to do. You got to teach them the importance of wisdom, what will come if they heed wisdom, and what will come if they refuse wisdom. The older my boys get, I will get personal with them about the time in my life when I did not heed wisdom and where it got me. I want them to have a vivid portrait. I won't go into all the details, but I want them to have a vivid portrait of where you will end up if you do not heed wisdom. What will come of them if they refuse wisdom? King Solomon, he added by saying, don't let her go. Hang on to her. Don't forget her. Don't let her be taken from you. We could all testify here this evening that the wisdom that God gives us is trying to be taken away from us by evil men, by evil women, by TV, music, internet. We could go on and on. The world system in general wants to rob us of our wisdom. Our wisdom is under attack. Knowledge is half the part. You could know all kinds of stuff. You can know all kinds of stuff, but if you don't know when to use it, you're a mess. You're a mess, and the world's trying to rob us of our wisdom so that we will be a mess. We won't know what truths to apply from God's word and when to apply it. We won't know when it's time to stand, when it's time to fight, when to act like a mule and back up in a corner and don't budge. We won't know that apart from wisdom. We won't know when it's time to fight. We won't know when it's time to be quiet, when it's time to speak up. King Solomon is urging them to keep her. Then says, why? She is thy life. Now, apart from wisdom, you're going to have a miserable life. This is also why the devil in the world system wants our wisdom. If it can have our wisdom, it can control our life. It can cause us pain. It can cause us heartache. It can cause us grief that comes from a lack of wisdom. See, knowledge, we can know we shouldn't touch that liquor. We shouldn't touch that bottle, okay? But wisdom takes it a step further. Wisdom tells us why we shouldn't. And if we don't heed that, then we're going to learn out we're going to find out the hard way as to why we shouldn't have to begin with. It's been said that wisdom avoids and knowledge finds out the hard way. Now, unfortunately, at times in my life, I've had a whole lot of knowledge from learning the hard way. I learned why I shouldn't do something the hard way. Rather than somebody telling me, hey, you shouldn't do this, and instead of taking their wisdom, accepting their wisdom, digesting their wisdom, and heeding it, I decided, well, I'm going to find out for my own if what they're saying is true or not. That's knowledge found out the hard way. And getting to our main text, and again, I've entitled the message Bad Company, and says in verse 14 and 15, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. The wicked have a path. You see it. Just turn on the news. You see the path of the wicked. You see what they're doing. They're on the path. You see what they're doing. You see, you hear how they talk. You see what they look like. You see how they act. You see how they conduct themselves. You see their manners. You see their homes. They go here, yonder, and there. They go to establishments of immorality. They go to liquor stations, bars, clubs, honky-tonks, any place that has a light on or off for that matter. As long as there's a party going on, they'll show up. It's sad. But I would venture to say that 70-80% of even the kids that I went to Christian school with, if you go on their Facebook, they are far from living a Christian life. Far from it. They're far from living a Christian life. This is the path of the wicked. The wicked has a path, and I'm telling you, this path wants to suck you in to that path. Wicked means evil in principle or practice, deviating from the divine law, addicted to vice, sinful, immoral. Evil in principle. This is who they are. And because they're evil in principle, they're evil in practice. This is their actions, their deeds. They may know what is good. They may know enough about God to seek Him, yet they deviate. They go against the divine law and the law that is etched on their conscience and written on their hearts. And it adds, addicted to vice. The devil wants control of you. We've said it many of times in our youth. Now, that there's different types of possession, demonic possession. I've talked about this before at our youth. There's the maniac of Gadara type of possession. And then there's people that the devil can control through his substance. He controls you through his bottle. He controls you through drugs. He can control you that way. Anything that is a crutch to get through this life apart from God, drugs, drinking, immorality, the list could go on and on for days. They are sinful, they are immoral, and it should go without saying. And if all of this is meeting at one place, maybe you shouldn't go there. Maybe you shouldn't watch it on TV. Maybe you shouldn't listen to songs about it. It amazes me what Christians are listening to. Some of the stuff they play in their cars or playing in the honky-tonks. Maybe we shouldn't be reading books about it. Once you make sin normal, to listen to, normal to watch. And that's the problem. We've been desensitized as a culture to sin. We're not offended by homosexuality. We're not. We're not offended by it. We're not appalled by it. We're not appalled by the bottle when we see it on TV. We're not appalled by it. It doesn't bother us. When we make sin normal to watch, sin will be our new normal. So maybe we should avoid their path altogether. King Solomon wanted his children to stay away from it. Now, as I said before, there was a nightlife in Scripture. You see it, you think of Sodom. You think of the prodigal son. He had a place to go to spend all his money on riotous living. You think of the strange woman that had a corner in Proverbs. And I've said before, the strange woman ain't just on a corner no more. She's on the TV. She's on the internet. She's on billboards. She's everywhere. Not just on a corner no more. Sounds a lot like today. Yet so many Christians put on their best poor me attitude and blame the world in which we live and why we can't stay away from spiritual adultery by shacking up with the world. Sometimes we think that biblical times was so much more cleaner than it was today. And in a way, yes, but you still had bad parts of towns. You still had parties. You still had drinking alcohol. You still had drugs. You still had solicitation for immorality. Sodomy was still common. But just like those in the Bible that stayed clear from it, we are to live our lives today in such a way to stay away from it and not ever go near it. King Solomon's telling his children to steer clear of the wicked. They have a path that they're going down. Now, we play around with that path when we let our children get on the path with them just for a little bit. And then they get off the path. The wicked indulge in all these things. They go to all these places. They live their very life on this path. It is who they are. And if you don't want your children to end up on this path, don't expose them to this path. Children don't need any help. You tell them no, they won't know why already. They don't need any help. You don't have to help them by exposing them to it. There were people that literally told my mom when I was growing up, let him have a sip of beer just so he knows how nasty it is, and then he won't want anything to do with it. Let him smoke a cigarette just so he knows when he about coughs up a lung that he ain't going to want it no more. You know what happened when I got in the Marines? It tasted bad, and I acquired the taste for it. I about choked to death on my smoked cigarette, on my first cigarette, but I got accustomed to it. People get accustomed to what they won't get accustomed to. I about gagged on my first dip of tobacco, but you know what? I got used to it. That's why you don't mess with it one time. That's why you don't touch it even one time. If you don't want your children to end up on this path, don't expose them to this path. Expose them as little as you can to this path. You can't be tempted by what you don't know. You can't be tempted to what you haven't seen. The devil uses this stuff. He uses what we've already been infiltrated by. That's what he uses. He uses what's already been in our ears, what we've already seen, what we've already tasted, and that's what he tempts us with. Can't be friends with somebody you never met. So many kids today are ruined at earlier ages because they've been exposed to things that would ruin anybody. By the way, we hear the term millennials a lot. Millennials ain't the only one that's ruined. I see folks 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s ruined. Ruined. Kids today talk about stuff I didn't know about till high school. I was sheltered. I was protected from it. By the way, I can speak as a child that was protected from a whole lot of things. I can tell you that I hated it then. Thankful for it now. seek to pass it on to my children. The kids today are being exposed to way too much, well before the age to handle it. Also, if adults don't handle it too well, you know kids won't. You got adults, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60 years old, confused about their gender. If their life is completely turned upside down, you know a 10-year-old will be. If a grown man can't hold his liquor, you think a 10-year-old can? You've got addicts today, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. Some of them commit suicide even younger than that. Part of it because they're exposed to too much. It's sad the amount of kids that's being bullied online when they shouldn't be online anyway. Amen. Bullied online. Got people calling them and stuff. They shouldn't have a phone anyway as a kid. Being exposed to paths of evil. Drugs, alcohol, and fornication are in the schools. Kids face all kinds of pressure, even at younger ages, to drink, to fornicate like their friends do. They want to be cool. Children want to be cool. They want to be accepted. So they want to dress and they want to do what the cool kids do. But the cool kids are on a path that you don't want your children to go down. There was kids in school that I wanted to hang out with. Why? Because they were cool. In my mind, I thought they were. Thought they were cool. Well, my mom didn't think they were so cool. So I didn't get to hang out with them. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for it. I'd have been out all over town if it was up to me. Any friend that had a license, that had a vehicle, I'd have been out with them. Kids care so much about freedom, but they don't even think about or value the importance of boundaries. You set the boundaries for them. We have a generation today of kids that are ruined because parents want to be their friends instead of their parents. And you can be naive and say that yours will never worry about that kind of stuff or be guilty of that kind of stuff or be tempted by that kind of stuff. And if it hasn't knocked on your door yet, it will. Kids will gravitate towards their exposures. What they are exposed to, that is what they will gravitate towards. In the home, you want them to gravitate more towards the Word of God, more to having a relationship with God, yes. Building that foundation, developing them up in Christ, and they will gravitate more towards that. Amen. It's hard. I've said it before. It's hard for the church to keep up. It's hard for the Church of the Living God to keep up with kids. It is. It's hard. The school's got them for 8 hours. The world has them for 8 hours. They're at home for another eight. They're asleep for eight. And the church has them for 3 or 4 hours out the week. It's hard for the church to keep up. Society in this path of the evil is wicked. And they're snatching our kids up right before our noses. King Solomon goes on to say, and go not in the way of evil men. This is the same principle here. Steer clear of them. When you see somebody and you can tell by their fruits, you can tell by their works, steer clear of them. Children know based off what they've been taught at home, based off what they hear at church, when they go out into the world, when they go out to school, to say, this kid, this girl, doesn't line up with what I've been hearing at home, doesn't line up with what I've been hearing at church, so I need to steer clear of them. One good way to look at this from the Apostle Paul, Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So you would mark them which walk not. Mark them. If they don't walk according to this Bible, and it's broad, there's preachers that I've marked because they walk not. So I don't go around them. I don't go in their path because they don't walk right. They don't believe right. And then in Philippians 3:17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." So in this verse, you'll mark them which do walk right and you'll follow them. So you have those that you mark that you're not going to follow. You're not going to walk after them. And then you have those that you will mark because they're following Christ and you follow them. You hang around them. You associate with them. You follow them. Tell your kids, if they don't serve God, love God, follow God, avoid them now. Mark them now. Right now, the sins at times with kids, at times it's growing into a bigger problem, yes. But the older they get, the bigger their sins become, the bigger their consequences come, the bigger the repercussions come. So they need to say now, as a child, they need to determine now that to mark the children that walk not and to mark those that do. Avoid those that aren't walking straight and walk and follow them that are. So many parents let their children run around unequally yoked with unrepentant sinners. Just because they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, don't make their sin cute or excused or less likely to ruin your kids. Christian parents letting their kids associate with foul-mouthed children, they're going to pick up on it. They're going to pick up on their foul mouth. Children that behind their parents' back badmouth their parents, talk down to their parents. What do you think yours is going to do? It's contagious. Sin's contagious. It spreads. King Solomon is telling them to steer clear of the path of the evil man. The word evil means having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong. Then it gives some examples as evil thoughts, evil deeds, evil speaking, and evil generation. So our definition also points back to the word wicked, but notice also the word perverse. It means obstinate in the wrong, disposed to be contrary, stubborn, untractable. Obstinate means stubborn. It's got a few more things, but it basically just repeats obstinate. Now, not only are we like this sometimes, but we know others who are like this sometimes. But what we will be looking at are those who are characterized by it. It means their mission every day when they wake up is to not only be wrong, but to be stubbornly wrong, which means they know they're wrong, but they're going to be stubborn about it too. It'd be like talking to this wall over here. It'd do you no good. You might as well just be quiet. Wrong, know they're wrong, but stubborn about being wrong. I mean, they're not hearing you. They don't care what you have to say. you know they're wrong, they know they're wrong, they're stubborn about it. Also, under definition, it says disposed to be contrary. You know, some people are just contrary. They're just disposed to be contrary. You know, I was like that one time. I was somebody that if everybody was supposed to wear red to the party, I was going to wear green. That was just me. I was just going to be contrary. I did not want to do what everybody else was doing. And the Lord has had to steer me into a right direction with that. It comes in good hand, but you better be right. You better be right. You better be following God. Because I'm fine being contrary to this world. I'm fine with not fitting in with this world. I'm fine being obstinate in this world. I'm fine with not being all up in the world. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not looking like them, dressing like them, acting like them, talking like them. And you know what? You got to be stubborn about it. And we need more stubborn Christians when it comes to doing right and not doing wrong. We need more preachers today during this pandemic to be more stubborn. Disposed would mean by their nature they're contrary. They're set in their own way. They will see a way and will do the contrary. For example, we still live in a day where, for the most part, people conform to having a job. Moving out of mom and dad's, having a car, being productive in society, contributing. Then you also have this group that just wants to be contrary. I'm not against video games, but some people make it their life. And that's all they do, is play video games and don't get paid a dime for it. All day. They don't keep jobs, live with mom and dad, don't pay much taxes, don't have a way to go. They drink, smoke, maybe blast rock and roll, rap, hip hop, or country, and do nothing. They see that in society there's a way to be productive, yet they do not contribute. They're contrary. King Solomon is telling his children not to be caught in the paths of contrary evil people and living a life. And by the way, living a life against the grain is hard. It is. You know, being rebellious is a hard life. You're going against the grain. You know, being somebody out in society that is in essence an outcast, living a life against the grain because you don't conform to what the many of the good rules in society would be. And society does have some good rules. You go to school, you finish high school. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. You finish high school, you maybe go to college, you join the military, maybe you go and you get a job of some sort. You get married, you have children. That's what we've called at times the American dream. Yet you have some who are contrary to all of that. They do not do any of that. As I said, living a life against the grain is hard. Make it worth something having a hard life over. The ministry is a hard life. You're going against the grain. You're going against the status quo of society. You're going against the status quo of the world. If you preach this Bible in its entirety, if you try to live it in its entirety, you'll be going against the grain with mainstream Christianity also. You won't have a whole lot of friends there either. It's sad, but you won't. You stand on the King James and there's already a whole group that don't want nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. The ministry is not an easy life. But I traded a hard life for another hard life that has better rewards and I'm pleasing God for it. Over a life of being wrong and stubborn and contrary just for the fun of it. Now going against the grain, it made me a pretty tough, hardened guy in the flesh. It did. Every day was a fight. Every day was a battle. I had skin as thick as a rubber mallet. Not much would get to me. I was a pretty hardened guy because of it. The Lord's had to break a lot of that down. But I had terrible rewards. Christian life's not easy. Life is hard in general. You don't outrun a hard life, but God will be there while you navigate this life. And will reward you with blessings rather than cursings for going against the grain for his cause. Verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You know, most things will not just pop up on us. There's a lot of things we know exactly where it's at, and we know exactly how to access it. We know exactly where to go to buy whatever it is. We know exactly where to go on the TV for whatever it is, for on the radio for whatever it is, online for whatever it is. We know exactly where to go to get to it. The devil is all in exposure. The devil wants you to see it, hear it, taste it for the first time, and then once you do that, he's going to remind you of it all the time. And then he wants you to go back to your exposure. He wants you to go back to where you saw it. He wants you to go back to where you heard it, where you tasted it, where you thought it, where you done whatever it was that you done. The devil wants to keep you going back. Most things, again, will not pop up on us. We know where it is. We know how to access it. King Solomon is telling his children here, don't even go that way. Don't even pass by it. Turn around and away from it. This is important for our children because if they are to stay on the straight and narrow, they need to know that there are some places that as far away as you can stay from them, you need to. As far away as you can get from some people, you need to. If they're set on doing wrong, you can't help them. There isn't but one thing you'll end up doing, and that's joining them. King Solomon wanted them to steer clear. Stay away and far away. Don't even pass by them, their places. Stay away. And the reason why, verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I'd said before, most of us, we like to lay our heads down on our pillow at night and feel accomplished. We feel accomplished if the yard's been kept up, if we had a good night in the kitchen cutting stuff up, canning stuff, kind of preparing for meal prep, things like that. We feel accomplished. We feel accomplished if we got a lot done during the day. That's what most of us do. If we had a good day in the spirit, we walked with the Lord. We felt like we were in close fellowship with the Lord. We had a hard day's work. We cleaned up, fixed up, worked up, stored up. We like to hit our pillows at night feeling accomplished. And the wicked do also. But their accomplishment and what it takes for them to feel accomplished is different. Notice also, for they sleep not except they've done mischief. They feel accomplished. They don't feel accomplished if they've not done any mischief. Forget work. Forget an honest day's work. You know, some places make me nervous. Big cities where the crime is high, because you have people whose day job is you. You're their day job. They want to beat you, shoot you, stab you, take your money, and then feel accomplished with what they took from you. Eat a meal with your debit card. Make a few phone calls on your cell phone. Somebody's got to hold our debit card, I don't know, probably like 5 times the information on it. I mean, I don't know how, but they got all these skimmers now. They just walk past you and can read your information and stuff. And then somebody in California is using your debit card, and you never even thought about going to California. So, I mean, but somebody's using it there. It's just ridiculous. Their work is mischief. Mischief means harm, hurt, injury, damage, evil, whether intended or not. They won't feel accomplished unless they've brought harm to someone. Notice also the latter end of the verse, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They won't even go to sleep unless they've caused someone to fall. They live for this. They live for making others fall. They live for mischief. And they're wrong and stubbornly wrong. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. One commentator says, for wickedness do they eat his bread, and violence do they drink his wine. Which is evidently based on Job 15:16, which drinketh up iniquity like water. And Job 34:7, who drinketh up scorning like water. The literal rendering is, for they eat the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence do they drink. The bread of wickedness is not the bread which consists in wickedness, but bread which is obtained by wickedness. Just as the wine of violence is not the wine which produces violence, but the wine that is procured by violent deeds is. Their support, what they eat and drink, is obtained by wickedness and injustice. You think about somebody that took your debit card information, and they're eating food and drinking something, don't matter what it is, at the restaurant, and you're paying the tab. This is them. That's what they do.
Teach your children to mark those who are stuck in a bad way. We're about to close.
Teach them pass out tracks. But don't get too close to them. Parents need to keep an eye out for wicked people for their children. Keep guard of your children. There was girls in high school that I told my mom that I liked, and she's like, no, you don't like them. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I don't then. There was people that I wanted to hang out with in school, you know, that I liked. She told me, you're not allowed to like them, you know. You're not allowed to be friends with them. She'd always tell me, she'd say, be kind to them. Be nice to them. Don't be mean to them. But you're not going to be friends with them either. We need to keep guard over our children. But also teach them to observe. We need to teach them what the wicked look like. We need to teach them what that path looks like. Amen. We've got to teach them. If we don't teach them, We always just tell them no as to who to hang out with and who not to, and we don't teach them what evil looks like and what wickedness looks like and how it manifests itself in the life of individuals, then they'll grow up into society and won't recognize evil people. They won't recognize wicked people, and they need to do that, or they're going to struggle their whole life. They're going to fall into trap after trap after trap and experience defeat after defeat after defeat by wicked people and evil people. We need to teach them these things. Teach them to avoid bad company. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again tonight, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the book of Proverbs. It has been a big blessing and challenge to me, an encouragement. I just ask you, Lord, to help those in here who are raising children. We need your help, Lord. We need your guidance. We need to surrender to your leading. We need to submit to your leading. Just ask you, Lord, as we continue through the book of Proverbs, that you just point out things. You know where we all are. You know where our strengths and weaknesses are as parents. And every one of us has our strengths and we have our weaknesses. And we ask you, Lord, to solidify us in our strengths and to help our weaknesses become strengths. In Jesus' name, amen.